Welcome to our service for the first Sunday after Trinity. We begin today a series of sermons on the Old Testament reading set for each week. I don't suppose I'll manage it every week. Sometimes a sermon on a particular reading just won't come. Sometimes another of the readings speaks to you more insistently. And then sometimes something that's happened in the real world becomes the topic you feel you must address. But there are some wonderful Old Testament passages set over the next few weeks, and it will be good to remind ourselves of these very ancient voices, and indeed to be astonished once again that they can still manage to speak to us across so many centuries in our very different world. We continue with the Trinitarian Kyries that we first used last week. Father, you come to meet us when we return to you. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, you convince us of sin and righteousness. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done what we ought not to have done, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the first Sunday after Trinity. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
Darlleniad o lyfr Hosea. Dychwelwch drachefn i'm lle, nes iddynt weld ei bai, a chwilio amdanaf am ceisio yn ei hadfyd. Dewch, dychwelwn drachefn at yr arglwydd, fe'n dryllodd ac fe'n hiacha, fe'n trawodd ac fe'n meddygyniaethau, fe'n hadfywia ar ôl ddeuddydd, a'n codi ar y trydydd ddydd i ni fyw yn ei wydd. Gadewch i ni adnabod, ymdrechu i adnabod yr arglwydd, y mae ei ddyfodiad mor sicr ar wawr, daw fel glaw atom, fel glaw gwanwyn sy'n dyfrhau'r ddear. Beth awnaf i ti, Ephraim? Beth awnaf i ti, Juda? Y mae dy ffyddlondeb fel tarth y bore ac fel glith sy'n codi'n gynnar. Am hynny, fe drylliais trwy'r profwydi, fe lleddais a geiriau fy ngenau, a daw fy marn allan fel goleini. Oherwydd ffyddlondeb y geisiaf ac nid aberth, gwybodaeth o ddiw, yn hytrach nag o ffrymau. Dyma air yr arglwydd. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The promise that Abraham would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Abraham believed in the presence of the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that you would become the father of many nations. According to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord.
See if you recognize the introduction to this next hymn. gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13 and 18 to 26. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was suddenly saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I'll be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our series preaching on the Old Testament readings begins today with Hosea chapter 6. Hosea is one of the earliest of the writing prophets in the 8th century BC, though it is clear from what he writes that a prophetic tradition is well established. His writing has an extraordinary emotional range, of which we get some small sense in today's passage. On the one hand, his representation of the anger of God can be terrifying. "I have hewn them by the prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth." But his representation of the love of God is gentle and tender. "Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth." The metaphor which dominates Hosea's writing is one of marriage, in which the Lord is like a husband and the people of Israel are like his bride. Both the tenderness and the anger flow from this image because Israel is portrayed as a faithless and adulterous bride. Her adultery at this time consists mainly of worshipping gods other than the Lord, especially the cult of Baal. To use the image of adultery in relation to Baalism comes naturally to Hosea, perhaps, because Baalism, like many fertility cults, seems to involve cultic prostitution. We're not really clear how widespread cultic prostitution was in the ancient world, or exactly how it operated in worship. But in relation to a fertility cult, we can perhaps get a general idea from the excesses that can occur in any agricultural festival anywhere. I was hearing the other day a story local to us here in Ceredigion, a true story about a young woman who became pregnant at the time of the hay harvest. Getting the hay in was an exciting time. All the young people would be involved together and drink would be taken to celebrate everything being safely gathered in, and nature would sometimes take its course. It could happen at the sheep shearing too. When each lad takes his lass, sang Steel I Span, all on the green grass, and the lads and their lasses do sheep shearing go. If all this seems a bit near the bone for a Sunday sermon, it's nothing compared to the use that Hosea makes of sexual imagery, and especially of the themes of prostitution and adultery. The Old Testament prophets sometimes performed prophetic actions which were visual or auditory aids to their message. So Jeremiah, for example, walked round with a yoke on his shoulders as he warned that Judah needed to accept its subservience to Babylon. The most shocking aspect of the book of Hosea is that the prophet seems to use his relationship with women in this way to express the Lord's anger. His first prophetic command from the Lord is, "Go, take yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." He marries a woman called Gomer, with whom he has several children. Later, he buys the services of an adulteress for symbolic purposes, although there is no sex involved in that relationship. All of this certainly claims to be autobiographical, but we can never be entirely sure whether Hosea actually did the things he says. In truth, though, it's shocking enough just to say or write them. Hosea also tells us, and again it's not certain that we should take this literally, that he gives thematic names to his children. The first son of his marriage to Gomer is called Jezreel, which means God sows, and is somehow a prophecy of judgment on Israel. Their first daughter he calls Lo-Ruhamah, which means unpitied. The Lord will no longer take pity on Israel because of its faithless, adulterous ways. All this is part of Hosea's expression of the anger of God, which we would now find troubling. How can we understand it, alongside the images in which he portrays God as tender and loving? In this second body of imagery, as we've already seen, Israel is the bride of the Lord, who is like a faithful husband. But Israel is also sometimes, in Isaiah's writing, the child of the Lord. And again, the imagery is of a gentle tenderness. For example, in chapter 11 we read, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. It was I who taught him to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them." It's not easy to think of a passage in our whole Bibles, New Testament or Old, which speaks so movingly of the love between parent and child. But the child, like the wife elsewhere in Hosea, may reject the relationship. "The more I called them," he complains, "the more they went from me." And the depths of the Lord's love seems, in Hosea, to be what produces the depth of the Lord's anger. In Hosea, the anger of God is the pain of rejected love. It's incomprehensible to the prophet that the people might not want to enjoy the relationship that the Lord offers. "Oh, that we might know the Lord," he cries in the reading we have today. "Let us press on to know him." And at the end of the chapter, "I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." There is an irresistible resonance here of the angry words of Jesus from our gospel reading today. "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Just as Hosea imagines God as a father teaching his son to walk, so Jesus expresses the personal nature of our relationship with God by calling God Abba, the informal word for a father used within the family. And just as Hosea likens the Lord to a faithful husband and Israel to a faithless wife, so the relationship between Christ and the church is expressed in the idea of Christ as the bridegroom and the church as his bride. Like the God of Hosea, and for example in our reading today, Jesus is often angry, especially at the supposedly religious people who offer all the right sacrifices, but do not understand the meaning of steadfast love. The difference, though, is this, that whereas in the Old Testament it seems that the conflict between God's faithful love and his righteous anger remains unresolved, in the New Testament God has made it clear that his anger will not be his last word. His last word is Jesus, who, as Peter tells us, carried up our sins in his own body to the tree, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Amen.
Small.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In tad rhoeddyn yn yfoedd sancteiddio dy enw, deled dy dernas gwnelo dy wychlis, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni i brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can i seiddo ti yw'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. In our prayers today, when I say the versicle, Lord of hosts, please respond, we put our trust in you. Lord of hosts, we put our trust in you. Lord, you found Matthew at the tax booth and called him to follow. May your church be as ready to respond to your summons. Lord of hosts, we put our trust in you. Make us a blessing, not a curse. Lord, Pharisees were shocked at your mercy. Inspire our policies with your desire for redemption and repentance. As your promise rests on grace, so may we order our common life towards your generosity. Lord of hosts, we put our trust in you. Lord, you stopped to heal a woman blighted by years of suffering. Show your compassion on all who are wearied by their illnesses. Bring wholeness and deep healing to all who reach out to you. Lord of hosts, we put our trust in you. Lord, at your touch the little girl was restored to life. Hear the cry of all whose hearts are torn by grief. Bring us to rise with you. Lord of hosts, we put our trust in you. Amen. Finished. I will
but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer.
May the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen.